Each of the song leaders asked me in the last few days what my topic would be for this morning, as they usually do in planning songs. And when I told each one of them what I was going to use as a topic this morning, each one of them did a double take. My topic this morning is, I had a drug problem. The reason I'm using that is because of a little article that I saw at least twice in the last 2 months, and I had seen it before. I don't know who wrote this, but it caught my attention. I had a drug problem when I was young. I was drugged to church on Sunday morning. I was drugged back on Sunday nights. I was even drugged to Bible classes. I was drugged to church for weddings and funerals. I was drugged to family reunions, no matter the weather. I was drugged out of bed to go to school every weekday. I was drugged by my ears when disrespectful to adults and teachers. I was drugged to the woodshed when I disobeyed my parents. Those drugs are still in my veins. They affect my behavior in everything I do, say, and think. They are stronger than cocaine, crack, or heroin, and break no laws in administration or consumption. When I read that, I thought of two things. I thought with appreciation about how my parents reared me. And I thought about a verse back in Proverbs that we have quoted so often and maybe even abused at times. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. I have heard people take that passage to try to prove that if a child made mistakes, that was proof that the parents had not done their job. I do not believe that's what was intended to be taught by that passage. I'm not for sure that I understand the depth that is involved in that little verse, but I am convinced beyond any question that it at least includes this idea, that if parents will teach and train their children in the right way, that no matter what happens or how old they become, they can never forget and get away from that teaching. I have had more than one person tell me down through the years, you know, I made some mistakes, and I went far away from the standard that I ought to use. But I could never forget what my parents taught me when I was younger. And the impact of what they had taught and the memory of it caused me to turn my life around from those things that were bad and go back to those things that were good. It would be extremely difficult for us to overemphasize the importance of parenting. The church is very much involved in the lives of our young people, and rightly so. I appreciate what is done in our youth program. I believe Jason and Sarah are doing a good work. I appreciate what is done in our tweens program. I appreciate what is done even among those that are preschool by our teachers, our supervisors, and others that are involved in the classes and the different things that are done here. We need to realize that those works should never become a substitute for the responsibility of parents. I appreciate all the good things that are done in our schools. And I think it is appropriate for us to stop and thank God for the good things that we have on the local level. Though our school system here is not perfect, and I'm sure there are things that all of us might like to change, compared to what is going on throughout the world, we have many good things present in our area. Not only do we have a tremendous number of New Testament Christians who are teachers in this area, but the vast majority of all those who teach at least believe in God and in the basic moral principles that are associated with Christianity. We need to be thankful for that. We need to be thankful for every good thing that is done by every teacher. And yet, that cannot become a substitute nor take the place of the responsibility of parents. God knew what he was talking about when he gave parents the responsibility for rearing their children. He emphasized it in the Old Testament. It would be interesting for you sometime as parents to take the book of Proverbs and just read through it, marking the places that deal with the training of children and the discipline of sons and daughters. I think you would be surprised how many Proverbs are along that line. And that's not the only book in the Old Testament that emphasizes the idea. Certainly the New Testament emphasizes the responsibility of parents. In the passage that Greg read a few minutes ago, after admonishing the younger ones to obey and honor their parents, he then said that the parents, specifically the fathers on this occasion, have a responsibility to look at the overall training of the children and not discourage them, but to bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. The training and discipline that is talked about in the Word of God. It is significant, I think, that both the positive and the negative are included in that passage. There may be a tendency sometimes for parents to go to one of two extremes, either to the extreme that might be called child abuse, where everything is approached from the standpoint of discipline. Involved in that word nurture, which means chastisement. On the other hand, there are those who go to the extreme, at least I believe so, of emphasizing only the positive and suggesting that all we need to do is just talk to our younger ones. It is apparent when you look at this passage that there is to be the proper kind of balance. Balance between the positive and the negative, between the admonition and the nurture. And parents are the ones who are specifically given that responsibility. Let me go back and read this article again and change a word in it. I had a drug problem when I was young. I was taken to church Sunday morning. I was taken back on Sunday nights. I was taken to Bible classes. I was taken to the church building for weddings and funerals. I was taken to family reunions no matter the weather. I was taken out of bed to go to school every weekday. I was talked to when disrespectful to adults and teachers. I was taken to the woodshed or some form of discipline when I was disrespectful or disobeyed my parents. I think that's really the idea that is involved in this. Sometimes there are parents today who want to send their children to these different events. But it's when they are taken that good is really done. Analyze with me for a moment what is involved in this little article. It is apparent that worship is involved, the study of God's Word, the promotion of family love and unity and respect for the standard that is right. That's basically what's said in all of those points that were made. I was taken to worship on Sunday morning and Sunday night. Folks, stop and really think about it for a moment. What is there in life that's more important than our being in worship this morning, to worship God, and worship tonight, to worship God? Oh, I know there are times that things are beyond our control. There are times when we are sick and it's not reasonable to come. There may be other things that will happen that have to be done. I realize that there are some people whose work, such as policemen, firemen, nurses, may interfere with their being able to attend every worship service. But those are exceptions and not the rule. I believe God understands those exceptions. But I do not believe that He understands when you and I willfully forsake the services of the church. There is a difference in missing and forsaking. There may be times that it will be necessary to miss a service against one's will, and certainly not by desire. But there should never be a time that anyone who claims to be a New Testament Christian forsakes any assembly where he can reasonably be there with God's people to worship God. And I'll guarantee you that the attitude that is expressed in word and deed by parents when younger ones are present, especially when our boys and girls are in those young formative years, will have an effect on what they learn and what they may later believe concerning their need for worshiping God and their enjoyment in doing so. I just cannot understand how a person, a father or a mother, would not want to have a son or daughter in worship to God every opportunity that is available. I know there have been some incidents even in our own work here, where because of premature birth and circumstances at birth, that doctors have advised some of our younger parents not to bring their children or to have them out in a crowd for a few weeks. And I think we need to use good judgment and respect common sense in a case like that. But I have always been turned off by parents who will pray for a blessing of a baby and then not have the interest in bringing that baby to worship services as soon as reasonably possible. I remember back some 40 years ago saying something to parents that I might not say now, since I think a little bit more now than I did then, if you can believe it. They had a new baby and had not come to church for many Sundays, and I said something to them about missing them, and they said, "Oh, we've got the new baby and we can't get him out." And I said, "Are you using that baby as an excuse? Perhaps I am praying the wrong prayer. I've been praying to God to remove excuses. Are you using that which is a blessing as an excuse?" And folks, how can anybody who has a child, in fact, let me just make it a little stronger than that, how can anybody that claims to be a New Testament Christian get up and walk out of this building after this service this morning and not be involved in the study of God's Word in a class? I just don't understand that. And particularly when younger ones are involved. We have teachers who put in hours of preparation to have a lesson ready to teach to our very youngest, our teenagers, and even our adults. What is there going on today at 9 o'clock that's more important than you being in a Bible class to study God's Word? Maybe it's because I was drugged to Bible class and had that in my veins and have that in my veins. But I don't believe it is. I believe it's because it's what the Bible teaches. It's what common sense demands. And especially for those who have sons and daughters that are still in the formative years, we need to be sure that we take them to Bible classes. What is there that's more important Wednesday night than being in a Bible class? Oh, my children have to get up early the next morning and go to school. I've got to get them in bed early. There are two things wrong with that statement. Number one is it doesn't make sense, and number two, you usually don't do it. We're using that as an excuse. We're not getting our priorities straight. And I'll guarantee you that some of these young people that have grown up like Caleb, who's leading our singing this morning, are what they are today because their parents took them to worship and to the study of the Bible, and even did some of that at home in addition to those classes. In the second place, family is emphasized in this little article. I was taken to family gatherings and reunions. I was when I was younger, and I know that many of you were too. And yet it seems to me that some changes are taking place along that line, and we're not emphasizing the family and the extended family as much as we should today. In a lot of instances, there are grandparents who are hungry for some time with their grandchildren. But the parents of those grandchildren allow themselves to be so involved in so many things that they don't have time to be at family gatherings and to be with parents and grandparents and the extended family on occasions when there's an opportunity. And what is happening, it seems to me, is that many of our younger people are growing up not to really know their grandparents and their uncles and aunts and others in the family like they should. If we started down the seats this morning to those of you that are 60 years and older, I would guess that almost every one of you could tell me stories about the summer that you spent at your grandparents or the visits that you made. But if we got down to those who are much younger, I'm not for sure we would have those stories. We're missing something. And it's because we're allowing ourselves to be caught up with the busy schedule of life and not emphasize those things that are important. And then there is respect. Folks, the reason that some of our younger people in the younger generation do not have respect for the policeman on the street and the teacher in the schoolroom is because they have not been taught the right kind of respect at home. When you as a dad or a mother allow your son or daughter to rule the roost and to say anything back to you without any question and do what you tell them to do if they want to, what can you expect when the policeman says stop or the teacher says don't? But when as dads and mothers we teach our young people to respect authority, whether it be God and the authority that's in the Bible, or whether it be the authority of a dad or a mother, and yes, God has given dads and mothers authority, and young people, dads and mothers do have authority and ought to use it in the right way. That's not a bossing idea, that's not an abusing idea, but it is a leadership idea, and it is definitely there. And I believe we are sinning against the younger generation when we fail to emphasize that idea in our relationships at home. When our younger ones grow up in a setting where they know that yes means yes and no means no, both said with kindness and love, but that when dad speaks, he's to be heard, and when mama says something, she means it, then they will be taught the principle that they can apply in all areas of life. And when they are tempted with some of the real drugs and real problems in life, will be better equipped to say no because they have learned what no means and how to use it in the right way. I really believe that Proverbs 22:6 is hitting at the points that are suggested in this little article. Train up a child. Now think about that. Train is more than just teaching some facts, and up suggests the idea of starting early enough and continuing long enough. Train up a child in the way he should go, not the way he may want to go, not the way that you and I might really want him to go, unless our desires are like the desires of God. Train him up in the way he should go, and I'll guarantee you, no matter how old he gets, he'll never get away from that training. And that training that is given to our little ones in those early years is more important and has a more far-reaching effect than any sermon that any preacher can preach from any pulpit. Because when we teach and train our younger ones in the way they should go, take them to Bible study and worship, take them in service to other people, be sure that they learn in school and are prepared for the occasion, and be sure that they know that they are to respect God, their parents, older people, and others, there will be something in their spiritual veins that will flow as long as they live and have an effect that is beyond anything that you and I can imagine. It is important for us to thank God for parents like that. I'm glad I had a dad and a mother like that. And I'm thankful for so many dads and mothers that I've seen like that. And I'm thankful for what I see even among our younger parents today. I believe I see many good things happening, and I appreciate that. But we cannot take it for granted and just think everything's going to turn out all right. It's going to take effort. It's going to take prayer. It's going to take teaching. It's going to be to take taking our young people to worship, study of the Bible, involvement in family activities, and showing respect in every way. The greatest thing that you can do as a parent to do that is to be a Christian yourself. If you've not become one, you need to be baptized into Christ this morning as a penitent believer. And if you have not been the parent that you ought to be, especially in a public way, you need to come back and ask for God's forgiveness and strength. Either is your need. Come as together we stand and sing.